Blog Talk Radio.
The Hoosiers jumped out to a big lead early. They were up 8-0, and really almost, you know, felt like Penn State really never got any closer. They were able to keep it. You know, it was a 14-point game at halftime. But I think what most Indiana fans will be excited about tonight is the fact that Indiana came out and really played well at the start of the second half. The Hoosiers scored, I think, the first 9, 10, 11 points of that second half. And, you know, really able to push that lead out and really hold on to about a 20-point lead for the rest of the game. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'll be talking with you tonight. Ryan is going to be unable to be with us, and Andy is trying to call in right now, but is apparently having some technical difficulties. So until that happens, I'll be talking about tonight's game with you. To me, we look at tonight's banner moment, and for me, what I really liked about this game is, you know, I remember a time not too long ago, a couple years ago, where a game like tonight, even in Assembly Hall, would have been a struggle for Indiana to get a victory. We remember those days. And of course, last year, Cody Cumming kind of signaled a turnaround for this team. And you look at tonight's game, and Cody scores 2 points. He's 0-for-4 from the field, only has 2 points, does get 8 rebounds, but Indiana's still able to win 72-49. And the reason for that was balanced scoring from the other guys. Victor Oladipo had 19 points. Yogi had 15 points. Those two were just terrific and efficient, 10 of 14 overall from the field for those two guys. Christian chipped in with 10. It was nice to see Will Sheehy get in there and score 12 points off the bench, which was nice to see. Give me just 1 second here. Andy's trying to call in, isn't able to, so I'm trying to get him organized as well. So for me, it was nice to see that. I mean, obviously, it's not great seeing Cody struggle like he did and only able to get 2 points. And we'll talk about that a little bit, maybe why he struggled and didn't play as much there late in the second half. Maybe he could have picked up some points. But, again, it goes to show you how many weapons this team has offensively. That Cody, who's been really picking up the slack scoring lately, he's been a double-double machine of late. Even when he's not able to do that, the Hoosiers have other guys who can step up. And I thought especially today, Victor was really good in the second half. And probably the best stat that I saw is that and real quick, let's check. Andy, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Okay, so I think we got our technical issues worked out, and Andy is there. Hopefully you guys can all hear him. If you can't, just let us know in the chat if something is awry, but I think we got that all figured out. But just to finish what I was saying about Victor, he is now 12 for his last 14 from three-point range, which is mind-boggling. And I looked up some of his numbers because, you know, the guy that Victor is starting to remind me of more and more is Greg Graham. You know, and I've talked about this before, that, you know, Greg Graham, his senior year, especially in Big Ten season, was just spectacular. And he shot so well. Well, Victor's field goal percentage, his overall field goal percentage and his three-point field goal percentage right now are both better than Greg Graham as a senior, which, you know, for those of us who were around to watch that team play in 1993 know how big of a deal that is. And so it's been great to see Victor continue to play well and continue to show that, you know, look, what we saw early in the season with that improved shot form, the improved confidence, even though he missed a bunch of shots early in the season, you know, that was no mirage. You know, the improvement was there and starting to show up now in the numbers. So with that said, let's go over to Andy now. Andy, let's get your impressions on tonight's game. You know, and in particular, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about, you know, how the team was able to come out in the second half, and then maybe what you saw out of Cody tonight, who obviously, you know, had, you know, probably his worst offensive game that we've seen him have.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the team goes, I thought it was the first half for a good bit of it, maybe midway, even a little bit past that, just felt like IU should have been up by about 15, and it was 8, I think, at the time that I looked up at that. But they, you know, made a nice run there toward the end of the half to get up by 14, and then you know, score the first 8 points within a minute. I think a minute and 5 seconds to start the second half is big. And I know, you know, Zach and I talked a decent bit about, you know, killer instinct or whatever you want to call it, after the game over the weekend, and it seemed like a case where you come out and you play a little bit lax to start the half, and you can kind of let Penn State hang around and creep in, and I thought that was really the stretch that really put the game away. So, you know, you look at it that way, again, you're not playing the greatest of opponents, but I thought that was, you know, important to come out, have a really good start to the game and a really good start to the second half. So, you know, those things were big. And as far as Cody goes, obviously was a little bit surprised, but Penn State played a lot of zone, I think, in trying to take him away based on how well he's played over these last couple games. And, you know, he really didn't force the action. IU shot a lot more threes tonight than they had in most games this season, and we're making a bunch of them. And so wasn't necessarily a game where you felt like you had to dump the ball into him to get somebody else in the foul trouble or those kinds of things. And thought he did a nice job of, you know, kind of playing within the flow of the game and really just kind of rebounded, blocked shots. Did have, you know, 4 turnovers, which I think is, again, been something that's crept up over the course of time. But and after I wrote that he hit like 80% of his free throws over the last 10 games, he got 2 for 4. So I guess shows you what I know. But I thought, you know, a game where he did a lot of the little things and really didn't need to score and didn't go out of his way to try to score either.
Let's talk about the, you know, a freshman who just continues to improve, which is Yogi Ferrell. You know, had one of his better offensive games tonight, I think set his new career high in scoring. It was 14, I think, against Georgetown. Yogi had 15 points tonight. He was 3 for 4 from downtown, 6 of 7 from the field. You know, only 2 assists, 2 boards, and a steal, but I thought did a pretty nice job on defense, too. You know, what did you see out of Yogi tonight?
Yeah, I thought he really, you know, at the beginning of each half hit a three-pointer, which I think is pretty key, and he's starting to feel more confident with his outside shot, and I think, in some cases, that could be worrisome to us, given some of the things we talk about when he's one of the guys taking the most shots on the team. But it was pretty balanced tonight from that perspective. And, you know, I think you see some of the work that he's putting in on his jumper starting to pay off a little bit. And I thought that was pretty important tonight. Really didn't have a ton of assists, but really, you know, did a good job of continuing to push the ball. I thought that was an area tonight where IU was able to force the tempo a little bit more to the pace that they wanted it at times. And that typically starts with him. So I thought overall he played a really solid game and, you know, continues to just look more comfortable. And I know, you know, we talked about this last time I played Penn State. He was outstanding defensively on DJ Newville the last time, you know, guarded him a good bit tonight. And Newville ended up 7 of 17 from the field. So, you know, I think another strong defensive performance from him. Newville had 8 turnovers in game two. So while Ferrell didn't guard him the whole time, he was a big part of that. I thought, you know, he did a nice job even when they were in zone. There was a possession I can recall that the shot clock kind of wound down and he almost, you know, switched back into man when the guy got the ball a few seconds on the shot clock and forced a turnover. So I think that's one area that continues to be a little bit overlooked about his contributions because it's easy to get excited about him pushing the ball up and down the floor and setting up his teammates. I think defensively he's a lot further than most people would have expected him to be at this point.
All right, so Ryan can't be with us tonight, so I'm going to take over his rant. And, Andy, I have a feeling that you are going to agree with this rant. And it is, now that we've talked about a few of the positives from the game, why in the world were the starters still out there with 2 minutes to go in this game? I can't, you know, this is starting to become something of a theme. You know, we've talked about wanting to see some of the bench guys, especially the young guys like Hunter and Jeremy Hollowell, get some more playing time, get some more minutes, you know, in these games where we have a lead, because we know the schedule is getting ready to toughen up and there are going to be precious few moments like these, like this game today where we could do that. And yet with 2 minutes to go, you've got the starters, other than I think Cody was out and I think Yogi was out, but otherwise Victor was out there, Christian was out there, and those two in particular on consecutive trips down the floor took awkward spills. Both of them, I was just holding my breath hoping they'd get up, which is silly considering we were up 20. You know, the game is pretty much over. It's just kind of, you know, sloppily coming towards the end. And we have these young guys who we need to get time. We have a bench that's struggling. You know, luckily Sheehy was able to step up tonight. But really, you know, no one else really did much of anything. And yet we still have these starters on the floor. So, Andy, I'm going to turn to you. You know, and maybe you can play devil's advocate. I know what you feel about this. You're as frustrated about it as I am because I saw your tweets. But maybe you can play devil's advocate for a second and explain Tom Crean's hypothetical side to this for why he wants those guys out there at the end of the game.
I would love to be able to do that, but I'm not sure I really can. I mean, it wasn't really a scenario to me where, you know, some of these other games, you know, they had guys in kind of working on the press and you could kind of tell trying to work on specific things, but I didn't really see that in this game. I don't know that, particularly the guys that were out there, it's not like he's trying to send a message to Oladipo as an example. I thought Wofford played another solid game. I think he had 10 points and 9 rebounds. So it's not like the guys that were out there are ones where, like, you know, they had, you know, screwed up, where he got pretty pissed at Hulls earlier for throwing that behind-the-back pass, and maybe you want to, you know, prove something to him, you throw him out there for a little bit longer, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't really bring it together, particularly because you look at the schedule and you know that you're going to need some of these other guys. And maybe a guy like Creek you want to be careful with. You don't want to throw him out there with his injury history and everything with that. I get that part of it. But if you're not going to trust those guys in a game like this, then you're certainly not going to put them in over these next few games where there are, you know, key stretches. If you don't want trust those guys up 20 at home, then don't even have them suit up against Michigan State, because you're not going to want to put them in the game. And I think, you know, those are some of the things that really became clear in the Wisconsin game to me, was, you know, nobody could really, didn't even try to kind of steal a few minutes with some of these guys with a Perea or a Hollowell in the second half of that game. And I get that sometimes maybe the game's a little bit too big for those guys at this stage in their career, but you have to have at least some ability to throw those guys out there. And this to me was a game that you really look at from a scheduling standpoint and felt like this is as close as we're going to get to some of those early season cupcake type performances where, you know, we all kind of lamented the fact that, you know, Hunter and Peter Jerkin weren't going to be around to kind of, you know, cut their teeth a little bit on some lesser opponents. And I didn't feel like during large stretches of the game that was a focus tonight. And I really can't put my finger on why that would be. And I think it was Justin Albers, you know, tweeted something out about, you know, people get upset because they don't want IU to take their foot off the gas, and then they get mad if the starters ran. I think there's a difference between keeping your foot on the gas when it's still a large amount of time left in the game, or, you know, some of the things we've seen against, you know, the Minnesota when the lead goes away, Northwestern when the lead goes away. You know, those were leads that were held early in the second half when you're not really going to think about, substituting quite so liberally. I think this was, to me at least, was a lot different than that. And, you know, seeing Oladipo kind of take that spill there, obviously he could take the same fall, you know, 2 minutes into the game. I understand all that, but it just feels like you're leaving something to chance where there's really no tangible benefit for IU of leaving those guys out there at that point.
That was the worst example of being a devil's advocate I've ever heard.
That's not great.
But that's because, to me, I agree with you. I don't – it is a totally different situation. I understand what Justin Albers is saying, you know, and yeah, you know, Indiana fans a lot of times are quick to criticize and quick to kind of find fault sometimes and don't always have great perspective. But I think this is a little bit different than that. You know, this is a game where it was, I mean, this game was over with, you know, with four and a half minutes to go. I mean, it's playing out the string. There's sloppy turnovers. You know, yeah, Penn State made a couple threes, but it's not like it was in question at all. So, I mean, to me, even if you don't trust, you know, Hunter and Hollowell and Remy Abel, whose confidence is just, I mean, where did that go? You know, I don't understand what's happened to Remy. He was so good at the start of the year. But even if you don't trust those guys, you know, I mean, Victor Oladipo, the way he's playing and the way that he, you know, basically carries us, and especially on a night like tonight when, you know, when Cody's struggling and just all the things Victor does, you know, when we're up by 20, 25 points with 5 minutes to go, he should be in a protective bubble, not even allowed on the floor, you know, because we lose a guy like him. And, yeah, you're right. He can take a spill at any time. But, you know, it's all about, you know, minimizing that kind of risk. And if he doesn't need to be out there in a game like this, I don't think he should be. So, to me, you know, I haven't been that quick to criticize, you know, Kareem substitution patterns and some of the late game stuff. But to me, I don't know. It seemed, I guess, a little bit negligent, I guess, to me, just standing afar. And who knows if, you know, maybe those guys didn't earn the playing time in practice or if there was some, you know, you never know what stuff is going on like there. So I was trying to give coaches the benefit of the doubt. But in this specific case, it really just seemed like a missed opportunity. And a potentially really negative one if one of those guys had gotten hurt. Now, luckily they didn't, so we don't have to worry about it. But I know, you know, that's something that a lot of Indiana fans are talking about coming out of this game. And I think they have a right to talk about that, you know, because, I don't know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Let's talk a little bit more about the bench. Andy, it was nice to see Will get back going. He seemed to kind of have that Sheehy swagger back. You know, he made a couple threes, was getting out, running in transition, even had a couple silly fouls, you know, which Will, when he has a swagger, seems like he'll do. He had that moving screen where he just basically almost leveled the guy and, you know, put his arms out. It was a pretty obvious call. But he was out there making plays and doing good things, which was nice to see, playing with confidence again. So it's nice to see that. But other than him, you know, you know, Hunter had no points. Remy had 2 points. Hollowell had 4 points. You know, that was really about all we got from the bench. And it, you know, it continues to be a little bit of a struggle. Talk a little bit about what you saw from Will, and just, you know, if you can, you know, maybe talk a little bit about a guy like Remy. And what you think needs to happen to get him back going, because with this stretch that we have coming up, you know, we're going to need Remy to play big minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they talked a little bit during the broadcast about, you know, how he continued to really kind of work on the shot, was one of the first guys out, and, you know, working on those kinds of things. I think that just pays off. I mean, the book on him has always been what a hard worker he is at trying to improve his game and things like that. I think, you know, he's a guy who typically doesn't lack for confidence, but you started to see a little bit of that. And I thought each of the 3-pointers he made, he really stepped into and shot those with confidence that really hadn't been seen. And obviously once the first one goes in, then, you know, stands to reason the others may follow suit. So I thought that was, you know, good for him. I think hopefully, I actually thought this might have been where you're going, where you were going to be Ryan for a minute, where you were going to talk about the fear that Sheehy would start turning into, like, Kyle Hornsby or something, hanging out by the 3-point line. So that is somebody who's also questioned some of those shots is maybe a fear that I have too. But I thought at least tonight he seemed to be a little bit more confident and maybe kind of working some of the kinks out of his game. You know, as for Abel, it feels like he's just trying so hard to do everything and is really in his own head at this point. You know, he goes down those one sequence in the first half. He makes just kind of a silly offensive foul where he just runs over somebody off the ball, and yeah, it probably didn't really have an impact on the play and anything like that, but, you know, makes that play, goes down the other end, gives up a basket, and then goes down the other end and just takes a terrible shot. And I don't know whether it's I'm trying to make up for the basket I just gave up on the other end or what some of the motivation is there, but he's really lost. In some ways, it seems like he's lost confidence in his shot. In other ways, it seems like he's overly confident based on how he's played. And I think just overall it was really just pressing and trying to make things happen. And, again, this kind of felt like a game where, you know, you're not coming in a tight situation, so there's really not that pressure on you, and you can maybe sit back and let the game come to you a little bit, and don't know that he really did that a great deal. So, I mean, it is a concern because, at a minimum, he was a guy who always was kind of counted on for, you know, can be a tough defender and things like that. And I think his defense has suffered a little bit as his offense has suffered over these last few games. I mean, I think we're a good few games since he's actually made a shot from the floor. And it's not like, and I don't think in his case it's the same that you've seen from, you know, where, yeah, you might be able to play a Watford at the five for periods of time if you don't want to go to the bench. I mean, there's really not a lot of alternative, you know, in terms of backcourt options for IU at this point. So he's going to have to play and really just needs to, you know, again, maybe it's a scenario no different than Sheehy. You get the first shot to go down and maybe he starts to get a little bit of that confidence back up, but he really is just pressing at this point. I think this is now four straight games where he hasn't made a shot from the floor after being a guy who at the beginning of the year seemed like he couldn't miss. So I don't know what the answer is. I kind of felt like this game might be the answer because it was really the, you know, the last time he, you know, he'd really gotten this, well, significantly in the scoring column was against the last game against Penn State. So it felt like, again, you know, maybe a chance for him to get started again, and that didn't really happen tonight. So, you know, three turnovers and pretty limited action. I think it's the other part of, you know, he's being relied upon to run the team a little bit when Yogi's not out there. And I think he's got more turnovers than assists in this last stretch of games for him. And I think that's as much as anything. If you're not making shots, then so be it. But you can't do things that are hurting the team on one end of the floor or the other. And I think that's all kind of just compounding on itself for him at this point.
All right, well, let's start looking ahead a little bit. You know, they spoke on the broadcast tonight about the tough stretch Indiana has. And we do. You know, starting Sunday, we play Michigan State. The schedule really ratchets up. Then we go at Purdue, which we know is, you know, hey, you know, that's a tough game no matter, you know, what kind of team Purdue has. And then, of course, we've got the big matchup against Michigan on February 2nd. Now, Andy, I don't know if I've told you yet, but I will be unavailable for that February 2nd game because I will actually be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl to watch the 49ers, hopefully beat the Ravens in the Har Bowl. We'll see. So I won't be there for that game. I was actually planning on traveling up because I think game day is going to be in Bloomington for that one. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make that one. But before we get there, we got to take care of business at home against Michigan State. Now, Michigan State is a team that we've played very well at home, you know, in recent memory. We've beaten great Michigan State teams when they were better than us, and you know, it always seems to be a matchup that we really do well. You know, for some reason, we play them especially well at home. Let's talk a little bit about them. You know, they struggled some earlier in the year. They seem to be getting back to, you know, doing things that Michigan State teams do. I believe we're tied with them, along with Wisconsin, the loss column atop the Big Ten. What should we expect on Sunday from this Michigan State team coming in? And as you look at kind of the arcs of these teams, how Michigan State is improving and how Indiana is improving as the season goes along, is this a game that you're expecting Indiana to win on Sunday?
Well, I think although it didn't work out well for me in the Wisconsin game, I mean, I think it's fair to expect IU to win their home games. I think, you know, again, some of the success they've had against Michigan State there bodes well. You know, Michigan State, when you look at them, you know, they kind of got off to a rough start. They, you know, they lost in that game in Germany to UConn. At the time, you know, an 8-point loss at Miami didn't seem all that great in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And then, you know, tonight, Miami just crushed Duke in the same building. So I think that probably is viewed in a slightly different light at this point. And they lost at Minnesota, which I don't think there's a whole lot of shame in. I think, you know, what has some people maybe worried, probably isn't the right word, but I mean, they've had a lot of close games even in Big Ten play. You know, they beat Iowa by 3 on the road, which is a similar margin to what IU did. Only beat Nebraska by 10 at home, won by 9 at Penn State, beat Ohio State by 3 in a grinder on Saturday, and the same thing last night, you know, winning at Wisconsin by 2. So, you know, they're playing close games, but they're winning them and making enough plays. And I think they're a lot more – they're, you know, kind of your typical Izzo team on the defensive end. They really will, you know, can lock people down and have been really strong on the defensive glass, as you would probably expect over the course of time, and have done a good job, you know, limiting opponent shots and you know, really making it tough for people to score against them, which, you know, leads to some low-scoring games and some tight games. And they've, you know, they're starting to get better offensively. Gary Harris, you know, a guy that IU really went hard after, I think gives them some scoring in the backcourt, and Keith Appling swam pretty well, and they got Derek Nix, who is still there somehow. up front, and you know, a lot of guys that can rebound and things like that. So they're maybe not quite as deep or the same maybe quality of depth as they probably had in the past, but you know, a lot of talented guys. I think in a game you go against Izzo is always going to be a close one, and should be a close one. But I think again, I give IU a bit of the edge at home, and I think as good as Michigan State is defensively, I think IU has enough weapons to keep them on their toes. On the other end, you're going to see a lot more man defense. I think IU tended to struggle more with zone, and that's not something you're likely to see too much of out of Michigan State. So I think, again, it'll be a good test for IU on the rebounding side of things. And Michigan State always does a really nice job there, but I think that's an area where IU's really excelled, and comparing this game to the first Penn State game is something they made, you know, pretty big strides in against the same opponent. So should be a good one, and a lot of tough defense, a really physical game, I would imagine, and hopefully one IU can come away with the win at home.
I mean, is Cody ready for a matchup like this right now? I mean, he's obviously played, you know, very well coming into tonight's game. Now I think tonight's game is going to kind of give people pause again, you know, just in terms of his offensive production. You know, but like you mentioned, I mean, Michigan State has some physical guys up front, you know, with Nix, with Payne. And, you know, this is the type of team that's given Cody trouble. How important is it for Indiana to get Cody going again in the scoring column if they're going to beat Michigan State on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to sustain another two-point effort. I think you need to see, you know, closer to what he's shown against, you know, Wisconsin, Northwestern, those kinds of games where he's continues to be active on the glass but can, you know, do some things inside. And I think, you know, the thing to look for with him is how differently does he attack offensively based on who's guarding him. So Nix is a guy who you feel like is going to be able to push him off the block a little bit more, but maybe somebody he can, you know, turn and face and exploit his quickness advantage a little bit there, particularly getting up and down the floor. And then, you know, Payne's a little taller and you know, more of an explosive jumper, but I think he's a little bit more overly aggressive defensively because he's a good shot blocker, obviously. And so I think, you know, maybe there's some opportunity there for the old Bob Knight shot fake and see what can happen there. So I think it'll be important for him to recognize who's on him and adjust his play and his moves and his approach accordingly. But, yeah, definitely going to be a big game for him. And you know, same with Watford, another game where he's really going to be counted on to rebound, something he's done a good job of lately, and I think that's another case where it's going to be, you know, team effort on the glass, and I think those guys are going to be really important, particularly with, at this point, I don't have any reason to believe that any of the reserve big guys are going to get significant minutes at all.
So, I mean, who else do you look at as an X factor then in this game? And obviously we know that, you know, it's the type of game that Christian needs to step up. You know, you already talked about Cody. You know, I mean, and take Oladipo out of it, because obviously we know that he's got to be his typical Oladipo self. You know, who else do you look at as the X factor that just has to step up for Indiana to win this game?
I think I'll quit beating on the bench thing. I think, you know, Sheehy's going to need to play well, but I think Halls is the guy for me that you really want to watch here, because I have some concern whether, again, it's kind of a lineup question. So what do you do with him defensively? You know, presumably you'll put, you know, Yogi on Keith Appling, and then you've got Oladipo, who you're kind of picking your poison of. Do you put him on Brandon Dawson to try to keep him off the glass? Do you put him on Gary Harris, at least to start the game? You know, Travis Trace plays a decent amount for Michigan State, and maybe that's a scenario where it's a little easier to find a matchup for Holt defensively. But Holt is not a good matchup for either Harris or Brandon Dawson, and if you're going to play him and run the risk of giving up some things on the defensive end, he has to be able to find room to score against guys that are bigger than he is and more physical and the kinds of, again, maybe the kinds of players that have really gotten up into him and given him some trouble over the course of time. So I think he's the guy that really stands out. If for no other reason, then you got to figure out how you work him into the lineup and those kinds of things, because he's a guy that IU needs to play. Obviously, he can make shots, he can do a lot of different things, you know, the veteran leadership and those kinds of things. But I do think that it's going to be a challenge for him defensively, depending on what kind of lineup Michigan State goes with. And, you know, worst case, it turns into a Butler-type scenario where Michigan State just starts to isolate whoever he's guarding and really try to go to work on him that way. So I think that's the one guy that I'm I guess, most concerned with or most intrigued to see kind of how things play out.
So is this a game where you think a guy like Sheehy could get even more minutes than usual, you know, playing instead of Hulls just because of the matchups?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think if you again, I think some of that's going to be dependent on what line of Michigan State goes with. But, you know, the good thing about Sheehy and Victor is they're somewhat interchangeable defensively, maybe not from a pure talent standpoint, but in terms of the kinds of players that they can guard. So I think there's a pretty wide range there. So Sheehy could spend some time on Gary Harris. He could also try to guard Dawson and some of those kinds of things. So I think that's a possibility. Obviously, that's a little bit dependent on him, you know, playing under control and making shots the way that he did tonight. But I think it certainly seems like a game where you might see less of Hulls and Farrell on the floor at the same time. But, you know, Michigan State will play, you know, Appling and Travis Trice together for a while, and neither of those guys is particularly big. So I think it'll be kind of a chess match of sorts between, you know, Crean and Izzo in terms of what lineups they want to go with, things like that.
Well, once again tonight, Indiana victorious 72-49 over Penn State. And if anybody's feeling at all dissatisfied with that, just remember that Miami beat Duke 90-63 tonight. LaSalle beat Butler 54-53. Drake is currently beating Creighton 44-30. You know, Florida finally got a lead over Georgia after being down a little bit. So, I mean, this is kind of shaping up to be one of those crazy nights in college basketball where you just remember that on any given night in conference play, you could lose. And so, you know, don't take any of these conference victories for granted. Indiana in six games already has five of them in good shape. And, you know, playing one of the other teams that only has one loss on Sunday, which should be a fun matchup. So let's go to some final thoughts here, Andy, before we wrap things up for tonight's game and look ahead to Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was really kind of the beginning of the conference schedule played out pretty well for IU. And while everybody's a little disappointed in the Wisconsin loss, you know, the net result is, you know, 5-1 team, and you're playing one of the other, you know, the next, you know, week you're going to play, you know, two of the other teams that you're tied with and really have some chances at home to make some hay there. And so I think while the start might not be what we predicted or anything else, it's still a positive one. And I think we're really getting into the meat of the Big Ten schedule now. And a lot of the quote-unquote easier games on IU schedule are pretty much gone, you know, minus a game against Nebraska. There aren't any cakewalks left at this point. So this is really where we start to see, you know, what this team's learned over the course of time and really start to feel more comfortable that we know what to expect on a night in and night out basis. And I think, again, tonight showed that this team is legitimately good defensively. Not elite defensively by any means, but I think some of those kinds of questions for me have been answered. It was another solid performance, albeit again against not a great team, but I think we've seen over these, you know, first six games of the conference and, you know, first 18 or so games of the season that this is a team that can play defense, and that's what's going to be important to come through in these games. I think more often than not, IU is going to find ways to make shots and have enough weapons where that's the case. And if they can, you know, play solid defense, I think they, you know, again, despite what was a disappointing loss a week ago, you know, I think that they still have a great chance to win the conference, but a lot of that starts with defense because you're not going to be able to beat some of the teams that they're playing if you're not performing at a high level on that end of the floor. So that's the one, you know, kind of positive takeaway that I've kind of really honed in on over the beginning part of the conference season, and something that will continue to be something to watch and is going to be really important for these guys going forward, starting with Sunday's game against another team that will certainly lock you up defensively.
Agreed. And look, you know, there are no must-win games in January, you know, but if the goal for this team is to win the Big Ten, and I think coming into this season, you know, I think we all had that goal of winning the Big Ten, you know, getting a high seed in the tournament and making a deep run in March. I think those are obviously the goals. You know, look, Indiana's last four road games come against all teams ranked in the top 14 right now, Ohio State, Michigan State, Minnesota, and Michigan. I mean, those are going to be some tough games right there. And so you look at that, you know, if the expectation is this team competing for and winning a Big Ten title, then, you know, they got to win these home games. They got to beat Michigan State at home. They got to beat, you know, Michigan at home. You know, that's not to say that they can't win those games on the road later on in the season. They certainly can. But I think as you're looking to position yourself to be there with the Big Ten, to have a chance to win a Big Ten title at the end of the year, I think when we look back on it, these are going to be some games Indiana's going to have to win to do that. So that starts on Sunday. You know, like Andy said, you know, I think we all maybe expected to still be undefeated in the Big Ten coming into this because we expected that win over Wisconsin. But hopefully if Indiana can learn from that loss, you know, learn from some of the reasons why they lost, and to me it was a lot more than just we missed shots. As Coach Green, you know, said after the game, I think there are reasons why we missed shots and other reasons that we lost that game and the Butler game. And as long as some of those things can get corrected, then I think we should do what we normally do against Michigan State at home, and that's get a W on Sunday. That remains to be seen. Certainly Cody's going to have a better game. Will's going to have to build on tonight and get back to being the dynamic six-man that he is. And at some point, somebody on the bench is going to have to step up, whether that's Remy Abel, whether that's Jeremy Hollowell or Derek Elson coming back whenever he does, or maybe even Maurice Creek, you know, just stepping up, providing some veteran leadership and knocking down some shots. Someone's going to have to do that. And it may be as soon as Sunday that someone needs to, and hopefully someone will when they're called upon, because I think that's a game that if Indiana's going to win the Big Ten at the end of the year, they we're going to look back and we will have won this game against Michigan State on Sunday. So it's a big one. We will be here to talk about it afterwards. We hope that you will join us. We appreciate you joining us tonight, or if you're listening to this on Thursday, we appreciate you listening. Indiana wins 72-49, solid victory for the Hoosiers, and we will be here to talk about the Michigan State game on Sunday. Until then, take care, everybody.